what I think is one of the root causes of this conflict that we're having between men and women. Obviously, this doesn't apply to all men, but most. And that is, I don't know how to convince them that they are supposed to care about other people.
If you haven't already seen Hope's video by this point, go back and watch it. She's talking about a topic that comes up time and time again. Why is it that men seem to struggle so much with empathy? And Hope hits on what the problem is, that even when she tries to explain empathy to men, they still approach it in a very transactional way. Oh, so if I display empathy, then it'll benefit me in this way. And the reason that men struggle with empathy is that men are not taught love, not real love. We're taught a transactional exchange as love. A man's desire to understand love through a transactional lens cannot be understated. Almost all of men's relationships and all of our relationships with men are approached this way. In The Will to Change, bell hooks talks about how a mother's love is unconditional, but a father's love is often transactional, dependent on our behavior. Mother love is a plenty and apparent. We complain because we have too much of it. The love of a father is an uncommon gem, to be hunted, burnished, hoarded. The value goes up because of its scarcity. As a child, I hungered for the love of my dad. I wanted him to notice me, to give me his attention and his affections. When I could not get him to notice me by being good and dutiful, I was willing to risk punishment by being bad enough to catch his gaze, to hold it, and to bear the weight of his heavy hand. Typically, our mothers love us no matter what, with an abundance that is seen as smothering, too much. But a father only turns his attention to a child to offer praise and pride for our achievements or heavy-handed punishment. And this hunger for scraps of attention from our male parent instills in us and normalizes a constant pursuit of seeking to be validated by male peers, doing everything we can to be good enough to get their attention through our obedience, through sharing the same interests, through our behavior and our actions. We strive to be noticed and find the reward of their acceptance and possibly their praise. And women are indoctrinated to this too, to seek the love and approval of men. A friend of mine shared this video by Madeline that I'll tag in the caption, where she talks about how when heterosexual women de-center men, there is often a large void in their lives left behind now that they're not seeking male validation. And for most men, this is their model. This is their roadmap for how men love. Not a true or real love, but an exchange. My pride and benefaction for your compliance, for your obedience. And this stains how we approach all of our relationships. Take men's hurt and anger at the results of this 2015 study by Michael Rosenfeld. I'm sure you're aware of it. It's the one that found that almost 70% of divorces are filed by women. That this rises to 90% of college-educated women is not true. That bit's made up. And men use this statistic over and over to show how unfair marriage is. That women are overwhelmingly the ones who want to walk away and have no loyalty. But what is not talked about is that study also looked at happiness between couples. And it found that the happiest women were only as happy as the unhappiest men. And the unhappiest women were, well, miserable. Men's outrage at women filing the majority of divorces is because, as we see it, men upheld their side of the transaction. We did the thing. So if that marriage is a loving one, as men understand love, then there should be no issues. That their wife wants to leave is her not upholding her end of the transaction, rejecting love. In making this video, I came across a male creator on this app complaining that women will, quote, leave a healthy relationship because she is unhappy. And it was said in complete seriousness. The complete contradiction of an unhappy relationship being a healthy one is held because love is transactional, not compassionate. Or how about child support? We've built an entire masculine identity around being a good provider, providing for your family, building a legacy. And yet there is such enmity when men are asked to do exactly that, because it's giving of resources entirely to benefit a household other than your own, with seemingly nothing in return. There's no transaction. And Hope's video already touched on how men's protection is transactional, coming with a list of caveats, exclusions, and disclaimers. Not stepping in for fear of harm, only stepping in to protect those we personally know, those we benefit from. And yet, even knowing that this is a problem, men still find it incredibly hard to escape transactional thinking, because it's all we know. Red Pill podcaster Myron Gaines, in his grotesquely titled book, Why Women Deserve Less, describes how the emotionless, transactional view of relationships is gone, dead. While men could carve their existence out of the real world through their actions, women could not, making women wholly dependent on men. Consequently, women had to find a man and keep him happy. They had to dote on men, cook for men, have sex with men, even if they didn't want to. They had to take care of men. All of this, lest they cared to die. He calls this the old contract and says it's been replaced by a new contract, where women can choose who and if they want to be with someone rather than being forced or coerced into relationships, and says this should lead to happier relationships between the sexes as desire forms a stronger bond than force. Which all feels surprisingly lucid and rational from Myron. However, he then goes on to argue that in reality this has created a dystopian nightmare where men are struggling to find women who want to be with them. And his solution? That men just need to hustle harder, to earn more money, to be a top 5% man that women do want to be with, and to not cry about it. Which, yeah, that feels more on brand. He tells us the transactional model of relationships is dead, but his only advice to men is to transaction harder. And having spent 8 chapters laying all of this out, he then admits his approach is completely flawed, pointing out that Tom Brady, who he says nothing else this man could do to make himself more attractive, yet Giselle still divorced him because she wasn't happy. Entirely absent from the book, from the whole discussion, is why your partner might be unhappy and how to fix that, which would be far more useful relationship advice than telling men, oh, just go earn $250,000. Just do that. And a lot of men are stuck in this loop because what men lack, the way out of this rut, is more men modeling and educating what real love looks like. Not just romantic love, but platonic love as well. Encouraging them to give compassionately, to love from their hearts, and develop a deep concern for the well-being of others and their own well-being. I was fortunate. I had a man like that in my life, who demonstrated what that kind of love looks like, and whom I never felt I had to prove myself to him in order to earn his love. He was my father. But not everyone has a man like that in their lives, which is why I'm grateful for creators like King Pierre and Eddie B. Talking and Brendan, who are educating young men on these topics, as well as Johnny and the Hey Brother Co, for modeling what empathy, compassion, and vulnerability looks like, what is needed in order to help men safely have and express their feelings in healthy ways. To develop compassion and empathy is more men modeling what that behavior looks like, providing spaces for young boys and men to regain that lost side of themselves that is often cut out of us and discarded in childhood. By normalizing and expressing ourselves in this way, we provide space and permission for others to emulate those behaviors as well. And ultimately, the more men learn to develop their sense of empathy, the more they will reject violence and be safer men to be around.